We Are All Still Standing by Frithin Thorns, read by Feijie. Shen Wei wakes from a formless nightmare to find himself alone on a bench on a Haixing street in the beginnings of twilight. He freezes, utterly still. Fear reaction, near panic, still not fully aware. Why? He forces himself to breathe. Xiao Yunlan is gone. Shen Wei tumbles through a string of emotions, beginning with fearful alarm, which turns into something more shamefully selfish. He struggles to bring himself back to composure. He told Xiao Yunlan to go. He'd been surprised and uselessly grateful when Xiao Yunlan had stayed. Stayed for a while. Now he's gone home. That's reasonable. No cause to feel like. He presses a hand to his chest because the phantom ache reignites the physical ones he tries to ignore. The pain lies under his skin, a dull, dissolute pulse which promises to make moving a regrettable prospect. Unfortunately, he'll have to move sooner or later, since summoning a portal in this state is probably a bad idea. So, he stands. The ache in his chest blazes into lines of fire, and his legs are so weak he almost falls, but instinctively summons his glaive instead, clinging onto it to hold himself upright. Tries to breathe normally. Takes one shaking step, and stops. And it's clear he's not going to be getting anywhere on foot. So, with a wrenching effort, he conjures a ball of dark energy in a palm he peels away from the glaive. With more effort, he shapes it into an intent and throws it. His legs give way, and his vision swims like water. The glaive clatters away from him, and he barely notices impacting the pavement with his knees because the raw broken glass scraping of his insides takes precedence. He leans forward on his hands, retching bloody mucus. Shen Wei, Shen Wei. It takes several repetitions of his name for him to focus first on the fact of being spoken to, and then on the voice. Xiao. He chokes before he can get the rest out. Hands grasp his shoulders, tight enough to ground him in full awareness for a moment. What are you doing? Xiao Yunlan demands. He puts himself too close, as always. So when Shen Wei coughs again, he's horrified to see small flecks of blood appear on Xiao Yunlan's face. Shen Wei? Xiao Yunlan repeats.
I was going home,
Shen Wei says. He's relieved to be able to speak. Why?
Walking was difficult,
Shen Wei says. He's beginning to feel, from Xiao Yunlan's reaction, like he's missing something.
I tried to summon a portal, but it failed.
Something strangled comes into Xiao Yunlan's expression.
I only went to fetch the car, he says in a strained voice. I didn't think you... Why would you... No, all right, forget it.
Shen Wei nods, because Xiao Yunlan is looking at him rather desperately.
The car's right here now, Xiao Yunlan says.
He hasn't released Shen Wei's shoulders yet.
Can you get up? Yes.
Shen Wei says. Xiao Yunlan waits for a few heartbeats. You can't, can you? He would very much like to, and motivation leads to effect. Usually. Xiao Yunlan's face is swimming slightly in his vision. It finally occurs to Shen Wei that he doesn't feel entirely lucid. Xiao Yunlan sighs deeply, and then heaves Shen Wei to his feet. It's often not apparent, but he is surprisingly strong. Shen Wei clings to him, a drowning man, as the pavement tosses under his feet. The red of the car is bright enough to stand out clearly. Xiao Yunlan boosts him into the passenger seat, and Shen Wei groans in relief to be sitting and shuts his eyes against the dizziness. Then, restraints snap tight across his chest. He panics. He thrashes, sword in hand, and...
Shen Wei! He freezes at the note of terror in Xiao Yunlan's voice, opens his eyes, carefully forces his fingers to unclasp, one by one, from the sword hilt so that it dissolves back into dark energy, rakes his eyes, vision sharp again because it's not permitted to be otherwise, up and down Xiao Yunlan until he's satisfied himself that Xiao Yunlan's not bleeding, that he's not lost control and stabbed Xiao Yunlan for the crime of doing up the seatbelt. "I'm sorry," he whispers. "It's okay," Xiao Yunlan says, although his voice shakes a bit. "I didn't think. I'm sorry." "No," Shen Wei says. Xiao Yunlan, against all sense, grins. "Yeah, too bad you can't stop me thinking things." Shen Wei rests his head back against the rest. He can't make himself relax, but he can go through the motions. "You could say something about how that would make your life easier," Xiao Yunlan suggests. "But you just said it for me," Shen Wei points out, and is treated to another radiant smile. "Do you want the seatbelt off?" Xiao Yunlan asks. "No," Shen Wei says. It had been the unexpectedness, that was all. "Okay," Xiao Yunlan says, and he finally closes the passenger door and comes around to the driver's seat. The actual drive is something of a blur. Xiao Yunlan keeps talking to him, but Shen Wei is simply too spent to track properly. He makes conversational noises when he remembers, which probably doesn't attune to whatever Xiao Yunlan's saying. Then they pull up outside the building, and Xiao Yunlan gets out and opens Shen Wei's door, and Shen Wei realises that he's supposed to get out too. I'm sorry, he says. "I don't think I can." He is picturing the path in front of him, and the hallway, and the stairs, and the hallway. He balks from it. "So what are you planning to do instead?" Xiao Yunlan asks. "Stay in the car all night?" When he puts it like that, it's obviously ridiculous, but Shen Wei also cannot escape the immovable fact that he just can't. He drops his eyes in mute apology. "You mean it?" Xiao Yunlan asks in a softer voice. "Well, I guess I'll have to carry you." That snaps Shen Wei's head up. "No," he says, appalled, because he knows Xiao Yunlan is exhausted too, not least because he already carried Guo Shanqing all the way out of Dijing. Faced with that, he forces himself to slide out of his seat to the pavement, where only Xiao Yunlan's quick action saves him from actually continuing all the way to the ground. Pain, again, sapping him. It's a long time since he's had to deal with such great pain, so sustained. "Oh, okay, you weren't kidding," Xiao Yunlan says. He pauses, but Shen Wei has nothing to give to a reply, so he starts walking, and Shen Wei is inexorably dragged along with him. He closes his eyes after a few steps. The world is fracturing around him, and he stops being able to make sense of it. Sometime later, he's prevented from continuing to force his feet forward by a solidity, a wall, which he's propped against, while the warmth of Xiao Yunlan's body is disconcertingly absent. Rattling sounds. Keys. Apartment. "I really should have carried you," Xiao Yunlan says, and Shen Wei breathes a low tone of dissent. "Don't argue with me. Only people who can stand up by themselves are allowed to argue." Shen Wei would like to meet this criteria, but knows he doesn't. Xiao Yunlan collects him again and pulls him through the door and inside. "This is your apartment," Shen Wei comments, but is ignored, and deposits him on the bed. Carefully, very carefully, like he's afraid that after everything, being jostled now is what could break Shen Wei. He puts a hand flat beneath Shen Wei's shoulder blades, and the other cradles the base of his skull, and lays him down, gentle, as if he's made of porcelain. Shen Wei lets him. He's never done this before, let someone move him while conscious, but without his volitional help. Let his muscles go loose and pass the task over. It's startling. His breathing comes easier now there's nothing he's forcing himself to do. Xiao Yanlan lifts Shen Wei's legs up onto the bed and takes his shoes off. Shen Wei does nothing to help. The mattress dips as Xiao Yanlan sits next to him. "How are you feeling?" he asks. Shen Wei blinks slowly at him. He feels like he will never be capable of moving again. He feels so sick, with exhaustion and pain, that he's come out the other side and is suspended there, where nothing from his body or mind quite makes sense. But there are a lot of signals he doesn't like lurking at the edge of his perception. "I don't know," he says. Xiao Yanlan sighs. "You look like a corpse someone dug up." "Sorry," Shen Wei says. Xiao Yanlan casts him a peculiarly irritated look and starts to undo his jacket buttons. "Oh, we should have done this first," he says. "It's all right," Shen Wei says. "He can sleep in it. He doesn't mind today." "You'll be uncomfortable," Xiao Yanlan says. "And also, you're hurt." "I just need to rest," Shen Wei says. "Well, I just need to check out your injuries." Shen Wei sighs. "I don't think there's anything to see." "He can talk okay, lying still like this." "Okay, so I'll see that for myself." Shen Wei gives up and tries to help with the buttons. Xiao Yanlan tolerates this for a couple of seconds and then pushes his hands away. "Let me do this," Xiao Yanlan says. "For you, okay? Let me do this for you." So Shen Wei lets himself go slack again, while Xiao Yanlan works with a slight frown of concentration and infinitely gentle hands to slide the jacket from his arms and out from around his body, and then to just as carefully unbutton his shirt. His hands are warm, even through the fabric, and each touch to skin is like a bright spark. Shen Wei falls asleep while Yanlan is still undressing him, or, darker, falls unconscious. Yanlan hopes it's sleep. "Shen Wei," he says quietly, but Shen Wei doesn't stir. He's barely moved since Yanlan got him into the bed, lying so still on his back that it's now harder to picture him awake. His face is too pale, down to his lips. He looked better for a while, but now he looks almost as bad as he had when he was still chained to Yesun's pillar. Afraid of what he'll see, Yanlan eases off Shen Wei's undershirt. "There are no marks." "No, he's wrong. There are marks. He'd expected bruises, welts, but instead Shen Wei's torso is crossed by very pale lines, almost lost in the paleness of his skin, running the length of where the chains held him." Knowing what to look for, Yanlan lifts one of Shen Wei's arms and... yes. More whiteness wraps around his wrists. He touches one with his fingertip. He inanely expects something, an icy chill maybe, but there's nothing. They look almost like long-healed scars. "Bespelled chains," he mutters. "What does that mean?" He can't stop remembering how Shen Wei had been moving. Exhausted, yes, but also stiff with pain. He wants something to kick, or someone. There are remnants of blood around Shen Wei's mouth. Yanlan dampens a cloth in the bathroom and sits back down with it. He dabs carefully with it a couple of times, and when he's sure it's not going to wake Shen Wei, presses harder to wipe the blood away with careful circular motions. He cleans the rest of Shen Wei's face too, and his neck, because if it were him, he'd want every trace of Di Xing cleaned away right now. And because really, he wants an excuse to stay here, to actively take care of Shen Wei. After not seeing him for so many days, after worrying for so many days, and being paralysed by Shen Wei's direct insistence that he not follow. "Did you know what you were asking of me?" he demands. But there'll be no point saying that if Shen Wei were awake, because Shen Wei is terrifyingly fixated on keeping Yanlan out of harm's way at all costs, and fails utterly to see the obvious contradiction contained therein. Shen Wei looks too fragile out of the armour of his meticulous outfits. Yanlan finds a pair of his pyjamas, soft as cotton, and manoeuvres Shen Wei into them. It's easier than expected. Then he tucks the duvet carefully down and thinks he should move away, but instead finds himself sitting back again and touching the back of his fingers gently to the side of Shen Wei's face, because Shen Wei's skin is cool and smooth, and he kind of looks as if nothing has happened to him at all, but he also kind of looks as if he might just fade out and disappear, vanishing from Yunnan's life at the speed he entered it. He remembers how he found Shen Wei on the pavement after having only left him for 10 minutes, coughing blood and looking so shocked to see Yunnan. It makes him scared and also a little angry, because he has absolute faith that Shen Wei will always come for him, so shouldn't he be able to expect the same in return? That pulse of emotion is enough to finally let him leave the bed, and he paces the apartment briefly before deciding that, no, he's just too tired to deal with this. He pours out a glass of water to put on the nightstand for Shen Wei and ponders whether to wake him up to make him drink it now, but Shen Wei had said that he most needed to rest, and Yunlan will reluctantly accept that Shen Wei can probably communicate his body's priorities accurately. Yunlan even remembers to drink some water himself, mostly to prove that right now he's not the most useless out of the two of them at looking after himself. Then he climbs into bed next to Shen Wei because, among other reasons, he's not having Shen Wei wake in the night and decide that Yunlan's abandoned him again. He'd probably try to portal back to Dixing to sort the place out by himself, all sense be damned. Yunlan lies next to Shen Wei's still form for a while and then rolls over so that their bodies are in contact. Shen Wei feels too cold. He always feels too cold, and possibly this isn't markedly different from his usual baseline. But Yunlan's not about to take chances. No running off, no freezing to death, he says. You hear me? Obviously Shen Wei doesn't, but Yunlan feels better for having tried. Xiao Yunlan wakes up while Shen Wei is partway through preparing breakfast. Shen Wei pauses when he hears Xiao Yunlan stir and turns to watch him throw the covers back. Xiao Yunlan says, sitting up with a lazy smile to the smell of the savoury pancakes. And then the contented expression wipes away and he bolts to his feet. But wait, what are you doing? Making breakfast, Shen Wei says. You need to eat properly to get your strength back. It's clearly the wrong thing to say. Xiao Yunlan storms towards him. His hand hovers near Shen Wei's arm, like he can't decide whether to grab hold. You should be still in bed, resting. I rested last night, Shen Wei says. He only woke a short time ago. Oh, so you're completely recovered now? Shen Wei frowns at the interrogatory tone. Not fully yet, he admits. But this is well within my capabilities. Please, don't worry. He's not human, after all. He recovers much faster. He still feels the drag of exhaustion on his body, and his dark energy is slow and viscous, but neither of those are debilitating. Xiao Yunlan huffs out in frustration and pushes his dishevelled hair back from his face. He half reaches for Shen Wei again, but then throws his hands up instead. Whatever. I don't know why I'd possibly worry. He spins on his heel, stomps off to the bathroom, and turns the shower on. Shen Wei stares after him, just standing there, aware that he's made Xiao Yunlan angry and unsure what to do about it. He breathes slowly, several times, mindful of the catch in his chest, and that also hasn't yet faded entirely. Until the smoke alarm blares out, sending him reeling, and he realizes, abruptly, that he's breathing in smoke. He flings out dark energy towards the smoke alarm, silencing it, possibly permanently, and is reaching to do the same to the stove when Xiao Yunlan charges past, water dripping off him and a towel tucked hastily around his waist, to grab the handle of the frying pan and toss it and the contents into the sink. He flicks the tap open and cold water hisses into a cloud of black steam as it meets the hot metal. Shit! Xiao Yunlan exclaims, ducking back to try to avoid it. He flings open the window and belatedly turns off the stove. Then he turns towards Shen Wei. Water continues dribbling down from his hair, pooling on his collarbone. Are you all right? Shenhui has been standing helplessly through all of this. I'm so sorry, he says. I don't know what... Xiaoyunlan crosses the distance between them with a few steps. His face changes. Sit down, he says more gently. The air is thick and acrid. Shenhui coughs and finds himself sitting down heavily into the floor, quite without meaning to. Xiaoyunlan folds down beside him without saying anything, then scoots back until he is leaning against the wall. Shenhui moves to copy him. He's grateful for the support. Sorry, he says again. Xiaoyunlan follows his gaze to the still-smoking sink, the open window, the... What did you do to my smoke detector? I just wanted to stop it, Shenhui says sheepishly. Xiaoyunlan snorts with laughter. With your usual knack for technology, I see. I didn't think. Which is worrying. His control is still lapsing. It doesn't seem to worry Xiaoyunlan, who keeps laughing. It's too much. Shenhui drops his head, feels his breathing constrict in a way which has nothing to do with the smoke. Hey, Xiaoyunlan says. Are you okay? He drops a hand onto Shenhui's shoulder, warm and heavy. Shenhui swallows painfully. His throat is sore. He doesn't know how to explain that he should be okay. That the residual effects from his captivity are no worse than expected and can be set aside. It's that he was trying to prepare food because that's what he does for Xiaoyunlan. That's the most concrete way he knows to take care of him. And he couldn't even do that. Shenhui, Xiaoyunlan says. And he doesn't sound angry at all anymore, just tender and anxious. Shenhui still has no idea what to say. Instead, he gropes for Xiaoyunlan's hand and holds it, very tight, head bowed. Ah, Xiaoyunlan, Xiaoyunlan murmurs, and Shenhui's heart clenches. They sit like that for a while. After some time, Xiaoyunlan says, I can't believe you wrecked my best pan. It's one of mine, Shenhui says automatically. Why is it in my apartment? All my pans are in your apartment, Shenhui says. Yours were terrible. Xiaoyunlan looks at him. You're still wearing my pyjamas. I don't think I've ever seen you get up and not immediately get dressed before. He doesn't think he can face wearing, again, the blue suit still crumpled near the bed. The rest of his clothes were in his own apartment, where Xiaoyunlan, still asleep, would have been out of his sight. And I like wearing them, because they belong to you, he offers, a rush of intimacy. Huh, Xiaoyunlan says, with the most supremely pleased with himself expression that Shenhui has ever seen. He looks down at himself. I guess I shouldn't sit around all day in just this, though. You came out very fast, Shenhui says. Xiaoyunlan grins. Let's just say, not the first time something similar has happened. Although it's the first time it's not my fault, which is refreshing. He starts to rise, then pauses. You should move somewhere more comfortable. Rest for a while. Shenhui shakes his head. I will finish preparing breakfast, he says. Xiaoyunlan frowns at him. Look, you can't keep expecting me to believe you're fine, he says. You're still worn out, which you should be, and it's throwing you off. He glances towards the sink. I know, Shenhui says, a frail little admission. But I want to finish preparing breakfast. What Xiaoyunlan sees in his face, he doesn't know. He so often doesn't know. But then Xiaoyunlan's expression lightens. What do you mean finish? He asks. What exactly in that pan do you think is salvageable? Shenhui is startled into a laugh. I suppose I shall have to start again, from the beginning. I suppose you will, Xiaoyunlan says. And then what? Shenhui exhales slowly, allowing himself to acknowledge the fatigue lingering underneath every movement, and the deeper than bone ache beneath that. Then I'll rest, he says. Okay, Xiao Yunlan says. Okay. He rests his hand on Shen Wei's shoulder for a moment before using it as a convenient leverage to pull himself up. Then he reaches down and brings Shen Wei to his feet as well, holding him until he's certain that he's steady, which Shen Wei is, mostly, but he appreciates it. Xiao Yunlan pads off to finish his truncated shower, and Shen Wei turns back to the problem of the absolutely unsalvageable pancakes and whether there are sufficient supplies in the fridge for another go. But he'll find something, and afterwards they'll eat together, and then Shen Wei will rest without protest, because Xiao Yunlan needs him to. It's an acceptable reason.